Hey, we are holding on Daf Chav Dalaram Beis at the Mishnah. This is one of the most jam-packed Dafim in all of Shas. Let us begin. We are going to discuss at first the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Dalaram Beis. We're going to discuss when you have trees serving as the walls of the sukkah, but that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about any walls that cannot withstand a normal wind not being kosher walls. The Gemara is going to challenge that rule from several places, including our Mishnah, as well as three other places where it seems that that rule is not in effect, but we answer all those challenges, and that obviously has significant implications in terms of canvas sukkahs or any sukkahs that sway in the wind. On Amud Aleph, the Mishnah on Chafei Amud Aleph is going to discuss the limud that, well, it's going to tell us the halacha that shluchi mitzvah are pater from sukkah, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of how we know that shluchi mitzvah are pater from mitzvos in general. So first we're going to have a limud from Kriya Shema, and then the Gemara is going to have a separate limud from people who are that people are saying mitzvah are pater from mitzvos, from those who are osik b'meis mitzvah being pater from Karban Pesach. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is also going to discuss why we need, once we have two sources for osik mitzvah, pater from mitzvah, why do we need two sources for osik mitzvah, pater from mitzvah? What was wrong with one of them or the other? And then the Gemara is going to talk about the Ptur of a Chassan and his Shushvinim, the people who help him out from Sukkah, and we're going to have suggested solutions of why can't he do both mitzvahs, why can't he do Sukkah and just be a regular Chassan and still have all the normal celebrations. But the Gemara is going to reject all of those possibilities. We're also going to mention, I forgot to mention along the way, the din of an Avel in Tefillin, and why an Avel doesn't wear Tefillin when he in fact does wear Tefillin. So a lot to talk about. Let's begin with the Mishnah on Chav Dalaram Beis. Ha'osu Sukkaso Beino Ilanos V'Ilanos Tefanos Lakshera. If a person makes his sukkah amongst the trees, and the trees are the walls of the sukkah is kosher. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kol Mechitza Shein Yichol Lamed Baruch Metzuyah Eino Mechitza. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says the rule is that any mechitza that cannot withstand a ruach metzuyah, a common wind, is an invalid mechitza. It is not a kosher mechitza. So right away we ask Tanan, well, what do you mean? Our Mishnah said Ha'osu Beino Ilanos V'Ilanos Tefanos Lakshera, that if you have trees serving as the mechitza, that it's kosher. Don't the trees sway in the wind? So don't you see that a mechitza that cannot withstand a regular wind that sways in the wind is kosher? So no, we're talking about the trunks of the trees where they do not sway in the wind. These are big, thick trees, and that's why it can serve as a defanos for sukkah, and you don't have to worry about the fact that it sways in the wind, because it doesn't. So but every tree's got branches, and the branches sway in the wind, and aren't you relying on the branches also for the walls of the sukkah? Da'avad le'buhutza v'dafna. Now the branches, we assume you tied them down with hutza v'dafna, you put some shrubbery there to make them stronger, and that's why they don't sway in the wind. But if they would sway in the wind, then in a chinami, there would not be a valid sukkah, valid walls for a sukkah. Ihachi ma'ilamemra. Well, if we're dealing with trees that have hard trunks and the leaves have been tied down, well then what's the great chiddush of the Mishnah that they're kosher to be used as the walls of the sukkah? So ma'udetem we might have thought that we should make some sort of gezeira that you should not be allowed to use such walls of the sukkah because you might come to be mishtamish b'ilan, you might come to put your kelim on it, and you're not allowed to be mishtamish b'ilan on Shabbos and Yontif. So the chiddush is that you don't have to worry on Shabbos and Yontif if you're relying on the trees as the walls of your sukkah. It's not going to lead you to use those trees to put anything on the trees, and that's perfectly fine. So if this rule is correct, which it seems to be, that a wall of a sukkah cannot be something that shakes in the wind. So the question becomes, what about canvas sukkahs? So Rabbeinu Peretz writes, based on this, that that which the Olam is knowing to make all four mechitzos miyurios shel sadinim from cloth, he says, einachal nasos kein, it's not correct to do that, it's not appropriate, and even if you tie down that cloth with the posts of the sukkah, since sometimes it becomes untied, and you're not going to be paying attention to the fact that it became untied, and therefore the cloth is going to start swaying in the wind, so it's going to be puzzled. So he says, if someone wants to make his sukkah bisadinim, he wants to use cloth as the walls of a sukkah, so what he should do is, he should be origosam b'mechitzos kanim shein b'im kanim l'chaveru shlosh tfachim. He should have what we call loved straps. He should have something that goes within three tfachim of each other that will not sway in the wind, that will be able to keep the sukkah more sturdy. That is what it says in Rabbeinu Peretz. Not just in Rabbeinu Peretz, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Remember when it used to be that most of the canvas sukkahs didn't have these loved straps built in, and when they came out, people said, what is this? Ridiculous chumrah, we never heard of this before. It says Beferish in Shulchan Aruch, V'arot Zalassos Pesedinim Simen Tafra Yishlam Etzif Yud, Tov She'yarog B'mechitzos Kanim B'pachos Mishlosha, that you should use mechitzos of Kanim that are less than three tefachim apart from each other. And as the Mishnah Berurah writes, Ratzalomer da'az afsha ruach minanei ha'yirios, then even though the wind will blow the actual canvas, the cloth, mikol makom nishru mechitzos b'kanim, but you'll still have a mechitza from the kanim themselves. So that's what the Paskins in Shulchan Aruch. What's the heter though? What's the heter to not have them? So the Chazanish writes in Aruch Chaim, Simenayin Zayin, Sifkat and Vav, that which we say that a mechitzos that move beruach is not a mechitza, he says that's only if it moves in such a way that will pasul it from dine mechitza. It would have to be that it moves at least three tefachim in either direction, or that it moves to the point where the whole bottom of the wall is flipped up or blows up, where a gedi is able to be bokeh, but bebas rosh, where an animal is going to be able to fit underneath the walls of the sukkah. But if it just moves minimally from the wind, that's a normal thing for a wall to do, and that is not going to be a problem. So the Chazanish says you just have to check that it's tied tightly down enough that it's not going to move three tefachim in either direction. One could add that it could be even more makel, that as long as it doesn't blow three tefachim in either direction within 10 tefachim from the ground, because all you need is kasher mechitza within the first 10 tefachim of the ground. Once it's above 10 tefachim from the ground, it doesn't matter whether it blows more than three tefachim, because that in a chinami may be a pasul mechitza above 10 tefachim from the ground. So maybe that alone would be kasher. Of Sturmbach and Moadim Uzmanim, Chelek Aleph Simin Pei Dalid writes that even those who are cholik on the Chazanish and say that if the wall moves just a little bit, it's not going to be kosher, he says that's only if the wall moves beyond what's normal for walls to move. But every wall sways a little bit. Even if you have a wood sukkah, if you have a wind, it will sway a little bit. That much we have to allow. And he says, with Rav Shturmach adds, you could be melamed zuchus on those who make a sukkah out of cloth and they tie it lemala v'gam lemata. They tie it down both on top and on bottom, where the wall will not move too much, because even though Rabbeinu Peretz said that even if you tie it down, it's no good because the strap may come undone. He says that's maybe Rabbeinu Peretz is only assuming if you tie it in one place, you tie it only on top, that the strap may come undone. But if you tie it all over the place, there are a million straps on the top and on the bottom and in the middle, on all the posts, so then maybe even Rabbeinu Peretz would not have been choshesh. There's also a fascinating machlokas achronim. What if you make the sukkah in a way where if there was a ruach metzuya in this location, these walls would blow with the ruach metzuya, but you make it in a way where it's completely protected from a ruach metzuya, where nothing, no wind is going to affect it. Do we assume that this is a din in the walls, that any wall that wouldn't be able to withstand a ruach metzuya is simply not called mechitza, or is it a din in the practical concern that it's going to be batel midin mechitza because it's going to be blowing? So Rov of the Poskim and the Magen Avraham, the Eli Rabba, and others say that we would pasul even if it's in a place where there's no ruach. But in Tshuvas Halachas Katanos, he says that if there's no ruach and there's no actual concern, so we would not pasul in that situation. Okay, so the Gemara now challenges this rule from three different places. Tashma, challenge number one. Hayisham ilano geder amichitz sakanim nidon mishem diyumat. When we talk about pasi biraos, so if you have a fence, you have fencing, or you have or tree. That's the key point. That is one amma by one amma in two different directions. So that's going to be kosher as the fourth corner of the pasi biraos. So don't you see you're relying on a tree as a wall, even though trees sway? So over there also it's reinforced. We must be assuming in such a nukimta that the tree is reinforced. Tashma, raya number two, that this should not work, that a tree that sways in the wind should work as a mechitza. Ilana mesach al aretz, if a tree hovers over the ground, im ein nofo gavo min aretz shloshe tefachim, if the ends of its branches are less than three tefachim off of the ground, so you can walk around under the shady area of the tree, and it's ki'ilu you're surrounded by the mechitzos that those branches make up, so metalzel and tachtov, you're allowed to carry underneath the branches of that tree. Amai hakal chazul vasi, but wait a second, don't the branches sway, and doesn't it therefore disqualify it as a kasher mechitza? So that's the Gemara, hasam nami davar lebutz of a dafna. Over there also we're talking about that it's been reinforced. Well, if it's been reinforced, yachi nitalta blekule, then you should be able to carry in the entire area underneath the tree. Why do we assume that that you don't get to alama amar of huna breder of Yeshua, ematalta el beis asayim? Why do we assume that it's only up until an area of beis asayim that you're allowed to carry underneath such a tree, but you're not allowed to carry beyond that? If it's surrounded with mechitzos, you should be able to carry even beyond beis asayim. And it's the Gemara Mishum Davi Dirish Tashmisha La'avir. The Kal Dirish Tashmisha La'avir, ematalta el beis el asayim. Typically speaking, if you're surrounded by mechitzos, you're allowed to carry more than beis asayim. But over here, the mechitzos that you're surrounded by are not meant to enclose the area underneath them. It's meant to protect the area outside of them. As Rashi says, shetash mishal avir eina asuya diruzu el tzorach avir shechutzala lishmar asados, to protect the fields around it. Veina chashuv adira lahatir hakav gadol. So that's not considered a dira to be matir a large enclosure. It would be good enough to be matir a small enclosure, less than Beis HaSayim, and that's why we allow carrying up until Beis HaSayim, but it's not enough to allow carrying in a large enclosure that's more than Beis HaSayim. Tashma, a final raya. Shavas Bitel, Shugavo Asara, V'humayarba Amos at Beis HaSayim. Let's say a person makes Shabbos, he establishes his residence of Shabbos on a mound that's 10 tefachim high, and is between 4 Amos and Beis HaSayim in area, in its length and width. V'chein B'neka, Shuhu Amok Asara, or in a cleft in the ground that's 10 tefachim deep, v'umei arba amos on beis asayim, but also is 10 tefachim to beis asayim, is 4 amos rather to beis asayim in terms of the area that you have inside of there. Rashi points out dafka got to be 4 amos, because if it's any, he says lahachi nakat v'umei arba amos di lava yosemi arba amos my mahalich is kula ika below mechitzas nami arba amos makom shvisa islay dain shvu ishtachta v'chutzla alpayimam. He says, we have to set it up as Dalet Amos, because we're about to say that when dealing with your Tchum Shabbos, you're allowed to go in that entire area plus another 2,000 Amos. Well, if it were less than 4 Amos, if the area itself were less than 4 Amos, then then you'd always be able to, you'd always be permitted to go in that entire area, because even if you're on flat ground in the middle of nowhere, you get your 4 Amos around you plus another 2,000 Amos. Your Makom Shvisa is considered your Dalet Amos. Over here, we're going to try to say a chiddush that not only do you get your Dalet Amos around you plus another 2,000 Amos, you get the entire area that you're enclosed in plus another 2,000 Amos. So if the area you're enclosed in is 50 Amos, you get those 50 Amos plus another 2,000 Amos. That's why we're dafka setting it up where it's more than 4 Amos, so we can have that additional chiddush. V'chein kama katsura, or if you have, let's say, a field where it has high standing grain, and there's an area that's carved out that's been harvested, v'shibolus makivososa, and you're surrounded by high standing grain all around, and they make up the mechitzos. Mahalich eskula v'chutzlal paimami, you're allowed to walk throughout that entire area plus another 2,000 Amos outside of that area. I afagav the kazal v'asi, in all of these cases, don't we assume that not in all of these cases, but at least in this last case, don't we assume that the grain is going to sway in the wind, and still we see that it's a kasher mechitza? Hasam nami davar lebutz of a dafna. So the Gemara said over here also, we must assume that the grain surrounding you has been reinforced, and therefore it's not going to sway in the wind. But if it were to sway in the wind, then in a chinami, it would not be a kasher mechitza. Tosfos points out in the top Tosfos, avgav de mukila maskana davar lebutz of a dafna, lo shaykh kan lak shuye, iachin talta bekula, kida akshi le'el, tahasam bi ilan amesach ala arit, sheyesh bo schach, v'chashiv kumuk af ledira, avlach aleka schach ala avir. He says, even though we say that you're reinforcing it with Hutza V'dafna, we're not going to ask Ihachi Netaltel Bekula. Then you should be able to be Netaltel throughout the entire area, meaning even if it's more than Beis HaSayim. Why do we keep saying if it's between 4 Amos and Beis HaSayim? Even if it's more than Beis HaSayim, you should be able to be Netaltel Bekula, because you're surrounded by valid mechitzos. We asked that before when it came to the tree, when it came to the branches of the tree, that even more than Beis HaSayim, and we had to answer that it was obvious that is dirish tashmish la'avir, and then it's mechitzah tashmish la'avir, and that's why it didn't work. Over here, it's not tashmish la'avir. So why don't we ask that follow-up question? That even if it's more than beis hasayim, you should be allowed to carry in the area. So Tos says there's a big difference between an area that's surrounded by walls and roofed versus an area that's only surrounded by walls and not roofed. Over by the tree, there's a roof over you, it's the tree. Over here, we're dealing with your middle of nowhere, your middle of the field, so yes, the grain around you forms a mechitza, but not a roof. And there's never a hava, meaning that's considered enough of a dira to even allow an area of larger than Beis HaSayim. That would only allow an area up until a Beis HaSayim. Okay, next Mishnah. Shluchei mitzvah p'turim min ha-sukkah, cholin m'sham shem p'turim min ha-sukkah, olchim v'shosun rai chutz ha-sukkah. Three halachos. Halacha number one, people who are on their way to do a mitzvah are pater from sukkah. Halacha number two, people who are ill are pater, and those who are taking care of those people are pater from sukkah. And halacha number three, one is allowed to eat in a temporary fashion, in a rai fashion, in a non-kavua fashion outside of the sukkah. You're allowed to eat and drink a little bit outside of the sukkah. So shluchei mitzvah p'turim min ha-sukkah, this is the sugya in Shas of Osik b'mitzvah pater b'mitzvah. This and a sugya Maseches Brachos, which discusses Kriya Shema, are the two primary sugyas in all of Shas of Osik b'mitzvah pater b'mitzvah. Pnei Yeshua wonders why here, meaning is there a reason why Chazal Dafka wanted to teach the din of Osik mitzvah pater b'mitzvah by sukkah? It's true of every mitzvah. When you're Osik in any mitzvah, you're pater from another mitzvah. Why do we want to Dafka talk about Shlucha mitzvah being pater from sukkah as opposed to any other mitzvah? So he says maybe it's the chiddush of the hemshich of the Mishnah that cholim m'sham shein are parted from sukkah. So it's, he wants to teach it lozu avzu, that not only are shluchim mitzvah parted from all mitzvahs in the Torah, but cholim m'sham shein, who aren't even technically shluchim mitzvah, but the sukkah has that extra koach that it's even that they're parted from sukkah. Sukkah has that extra exemption that cholim m'sham shein. So it wants to set up that halacha of cholim m'sham shein, or the Pnei Yeshua suggests maybe there's a greater chiddush in being pater from sukkah, because sukkah is an unusual mitzvah. Most mitzvahs, you do it and you're done. You do the mitzvah for a moment and that's it. It's over. Sukkah is a mitzvah that's constant. Every moment you're in the sukkah is another mitzvah. So it's an ongoing mitzvah. You might think, well, if I'm doing one mitzvah, I shouldn't be pater from sukkah. That gives the fact that sukkah is every moment gives it an extra koach. That's like the Minchas Chinuch discusses by the mitzvah of mezuzah. If a person can only afford to buy a mezuzah or to buy another mitzvah, maybe mezuzah should win because mezuzah is constant. That even though it may not be a bigger mitzvah per se than other mitzvahs, then let's say if a person is only going to wear tefillin, let's say, for shachris, he's not going to wear tefillin all day, so maybe mezuzah should win because mezuzah you get every second. So that is a factor when determining the weight of mitzvahs, is how much of your day is spent being mekayim the mitzvah. Or, says the Pnei Yeshua, maybe by other mitzvahs to say, it's only b'shevi al ta'aseh, so it's okay to say that osik mitzvah is patur min mitzvah. But by sukkah, the ikr mitzvah sukkah is b'kum va'aseh, that meaning the violation of the mitzvah is b'kum va'aseh, where you eat and drink and sleep outside of the sukkah, you actively violate sukkah. By other mitzvahs, you don't put on tefillin, so you're not doing so. You're not actively violating tefillin. But there's an active violation by sukkah, so maybe that's a greater chiddush to tell me that you're even patur from the mitzvah of sukkah. Or, he says, maybe there's an additional issue by sukkah of maris ha'ayin, that it's very obvious when you're eating outside of a sukkah that you're not in a sukkah, or when you're sleeping outside of a sukkah that you're not in a sukkah. One might have thought that we should not patur someone from a mitzvah in that situation because it's too obvious to everybody else. Maybe we should have been gozer, mishum maris ha'ayin. The examples Rashi gives are also somewhat interesting. Rashi writes, shluchei mitzvah, holchei bidarech mitzvah, people are going to do a mitzvah, kigon, for example, lilmo Torah, to go learn Torah, which right away is a very strange example, because the halacha is that the one exception to osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah is that if a person is osik b'talmud Torah, if you're busy learning, you do stop the learning to go do another mitzvah. Lilmud al menas lasos, our limud has to lead us to do mitzvos, and we have to learn all day long. So if we're going to be learning all day long and never stopping doing mitzvah, we would never do anything. We would never do any mitzvos. So it is a little unusual that Rashi gives the example, someone who's going Lilmo Torah is pater from sukkah, but someone who's actually Lomei Torah is apparently not pater from sukkah. So that's a whole shir in its own right, why Rashi gives that example of Lilmo Torah. It's discussed at great length. But even the next example that he gives, Ula Hakpil Pnei Rabbo, to go greet your Rebbe, that's also a pater from sukkah. So the Achronim ask, wait a second, Kabos Pnei Rabbo is a din d'Rabbanan. How could it be nosik b'mitzvah d'Rabbanan pater from mitzvah d'Araisa? So the Aruch Nadar says that by every mitzvah d'Rabbanan, you are mekayim something on a d'Araisa level, because the Pasuk says Lo Sasur. So on that level, level, it's enough of a daraisa to say that you're called osik b'mitzvah, even though you're only doing it the rabbanon, and to be pater from a mitzvah daraisa. Furthermore, says the Aruch Liner, Kabbalah's Pnei Rabbo is not Drabbanan. We learn it out in Divrei Kabbalah. Lo Chodesh Yom V'lo Shabbos. We'll see Gemara later on. We learn the halach of Kabbalah's Pnei Rabbo Beregel from, the Isha Shunamis. That our husband says, what are you doing? Why are you going to visit the Navi today? It's Lo Chodesh V'lo Shabbos. So that's what we learn. We learn from Nevi'im. It's not purely Drabbanan. So it's higher than a Drabbanan. It's Divrei Kabbalah. Bikur Yaakov says that it's a Din D'Oraisa. He's a Kabbalah's Pnei Rabbo, or it's at least a Kiyum Doraisa, because of the famous Gemara in a couple of places in Shas. Shimon HaMsuni was Dorish Kol Esen Shabbatora, Ad Sheigia Le'es Hashem Elokecha Tira. He got to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira Miyad Pirish, and he said, can't darshan anything from this S in the Torah. Ad Shebar Rabbi Kiva V'lam, it was Rabbi Kiva that was Melamed that Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Ravos Tamid HaChachamim. So says Bikur Yaakov, it's a Kiyum Doraisa of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira to go be makpil pnei rabbi ragel. So it is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And Rav Elchanan says what probably would have been the most pashut answer, although he's not thrilled with it, that maybe osik mitzvah d'rabbanan is considered osik b'mitzvah, because we're going to see in the Gemara, how do we know that an osik mitzvah is part of a mitzvah? Because it says, uvelechtecha v'derech. When you're going on your own road, for your own choice, you're taking a leisurely trip, that's when you have to do mitzvahs like Kriyashma. But if you're going for any other reason, you're doing it for any other reason than your own leisure, then you are chayiv, then you are pater from other mitzvahs, like Kriyashma. So the implication is that as long that the geder is not, are you doing a mitzvah, what's defined by the Torah as a mitzvah or not. The geder is, are you going for your own leisure, or are you going for some other reason? And if you're going for some other reason, if there's something forcing you to go, well then you're called an osik b'mitzvah, and you're in fact going to be pater from mitzvah. Good. Tosfos over here raises the most fundamental question in the entire sugya. Tosfos in Dibur Maskil Shluchim Mitzvah v'tema im yicholim l'kayim shneihem amay peturin. Da'atu adam sheish lo tzitzis bebigdo tefillin barosho mi miftar b'kach mishar mitzvos. He says, I don't understand. How could there be such a rule of osing mitzvah patur min a mitzvah? Right now, we should all be patur from doing anything. We're wearing tzitzis. So if you're wearing tzitzis, you shouldn't have to put on tefillin later. We shouldn't have to learn Torah now. We should never have to do any mitzvah. You have a mezuzah in your house. You shouldn't have even had to put on our tzitzis, because you have a mezuzah in our house. We're always osik b'mitzvah. So it really patters you from everything else. So it says, Tosfos Perek Ein Bein Amuda Gabei Muda Ano Demachsul Avedaso Afal Pi Demahani Le Pruta D'Rav Yosef Mishum D'Lo Shchicha. The Gemara over there says that if a person is taking care, if a person has a neder that he's not allowed to get hanah from somebody, he's still allowed to return their aveda. Aye, he's getting hanah because the halacha is that when you're doing Hashavas Aveda, if someone were to ask you for tzedakah, you're pater, because osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. So aren't you getting hana by being machzir the person's aveda, since you're saving money on helping out the poor? V'ikals man shaveda beisam mifter min lemeisav rifta la'ani imkein shchichi. So the Gemara says, no, it's not so shchiach that an ani is going to come while you're doing Hashavas Aveda. Really? It sometimes takes weeks to do Hashavas Aveda. I take the aveda, I bring it into my house, and it's in my house for weeks and weeks. So it's low shchiach that an ani is going to come. As long as there's one Sunday afternoon in there, I can guarantee you that an ani is going to come. So what do you mean that it's lo shchiach? Ela vadei lo miftar ela b'shashu osekba, says Tosfos. The Yesod is, you're only pater from another mitzvah at a time, not when you are being mekayim a mitzvah, but at a time where you are being osek in a mitzvah, where you are actively involved in a mitzvah. Yes, we all have mezuzahs on our house, we're all wearing tzitzis right now. None of us are being osek in mezuzah or osek in tzitzis right now. There's no active involvement, it's just something that's happening. The patur of mitzvah is only when you are osek in the mitzvah, and so he says, and that's the same thing when it comes to the aveda, that the reason it's lo shchiach is it's not shchiach that at a time where you're actually doing something with the aveda that an ani is going to come. The Ran writes that anyone is osik mitzvah even if you're able to be mekayim both mitzvahs, even if it's efshar lekayim shneihem, still you're part from a mitzvah. That's how far this din of osik goes. He says, look, if it's really easy to do both, it's no tircha at all, then you should do both. But if it's even somewhat of a bother to do both mitzvahs, even though it's possible to do both mitzvahs, then you're part from the mitzvah. Now the Bali Atosos seem to assume that if it's that osik mitzvah part from a mitzvah is only when it's e'efshal lekayim shneim, when you cannot do both mitzvos. That's when we're going to say osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. But if it's possible to do both mitzvos, then you have to do both mitzvos. The Ran says even if it's possible, you don't have to do both. The Ritva asks the question, working within the shita of the Balei HaTosfos, that if it's possible to do both mitzvos, you don't have to. If you do have to do both mitzvos, and it's only when it's impossible that we say osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. Ask the Ritva, why do I need a limud that osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah? I don't need a limud to tell me that I'm human. If it's impossible, it's impossible. Meaning, let's say the Torah never would have taught me this concept of osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah, then I would have thought I have to do the impossible. Meaning, if the whole concept is only for cases where it's impossible to do both, obviously I'm not going to be able to do both. So obviously I'm only going to be able to do one and not the other. So what's the chiddush of osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah? That we're human beings? Of course we're human beings. We're not going to be able to do both. So says the Ritva, no, the chiddush is that osig mitzvah pater, one might have thought that you get to choose whichever one you want. One might have thought that if I'm osig in one mitzvah, another mitzvah that I like better comes along, I could leave the one I'm in the middle of and go do the other one. Yeah, it's impossible to do both. I'm not going to be able to do both, but I could choose which one. Kamash Milan comes along osig mitzvah pater min a mitzvah and tells me you don't get to choose. Whichever one you're involved in, it makes everything else a Dvar HaRashus. It turns the rest of the world, the rest of the 612 mitzvos, into a Dvar HaRashus while you're being osik in this one mitzvah. And it's usher to leave a mitzvah to go do a Dvar HaRashus. So it makes it usher to go do another mitzvah. So that's the issue that the poskim discuss. If you're in the middle of davening and an ani comes around collecting tzedakah, it may not be just an issue of whether you want to be a nice guy and interrupt your davening to give him tzedakah. It may be usher, according to the Shitas HaRitva, to interrupt your davening and give him tzedakah. So in Halich HaShlomo, it says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, because of this Ritva, his conclusion was not, so I'm never going to give an ani tzedakah. His conclusion was that he should line up shkalim on a shtender so that the anim that would come around during davening would just be able to take one. And because it was Rosh Shlomo Zalman, no one had the chutzpah to just swipe them all and take, but they would just take one. They would know that was the protocol. So that was his minhag, so he wouldn't have to interrupt Kriya Shema or other mitzvahs. Okay, says Gemara Minan Emili, how do I know this rule of osig mitzvah pater min mitzvah? The Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa as follows. B'shivtecha b'veisacha prat losig min mitzvah. Pasukim Kriya Shema tells me that you say Kriya Shema when you are shivtecha b'veisacha, when you are sitting in your house, but if you're doing something like a mitzvah, the implication is you would not say Kriya Shema. Uvelechtecha v'derech, when you're traveling on the road, prat l'chasan. Tells me that if you're a chasan, you're pater from Kriya Shema. Mikan Amru, based on that we say, akonis is a psula pater ves almana chayiv. If someone marries a psula, he's pater from Kriya Shema. If someone marries an almana, he's chayiv in Kriya Shema. That's the, where this comes up in Maseches Brachos, opens the door to the sugya of yuhara, whether a chasan is allowed to volunteer the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So anyway, so my mashma, how do you see from this pasuk that osig mitzvah is pater min a mitzvah, that it necessarily means that someone who's doing a mitzvah doesn't read Shema? So I'm Rav Huna, kiderech, that we say it should be just like a derech. Ma derech rishus, av kol rishus. Just like a derech, when a person travels, usually it's because he's traveling for enjoyment, and it's a dvar rishus. So too, whenever you're engaged in any dvar rishus, that's when you're pater from a mitzvah. But if you're engaged in dvar mitzvah, then you're chayiv in other mitzvahs. La fukei, debi mitzvah asuk. If you're engaged, I'm sorry, when you're engaged in dvar rishus, that's when you're chayiv in kriya Shema. If you're engaged in dvar mitzvah, then you can be potter from other mitzvahs. Milo askinon dechazal dvar mitzvah kamar rachman alikri. Wait a second. Who told you a derech means a derech rishus? I love doing mitzvahs. All the time I'm walking to go do mitzvahs. Who says that derech means that you're going to do a dvar rishus? People travel all the time to go do mitzvahs. What do you think the chachamim in, you know, all these stories we have of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua were on a boat? They're always traveling. What, they like cruises? They're always going to do mitzvahs. They're going to save Klal Yisrael from the government and from all sorts of... They were always negotiating and doing mitzvahs. So every derech is just a rishus? What are you talking about? If it was talking about a derech of a mitzvah, then it would have said, b'sheves uvelechas. My b'shiftecha uvelechtecha. Why does it say, make it more personal? My going, my staying. To tell me, b'lechas didachu d'mechayeves uvelechas to mitzvah p'tiras. That when are you chayiv in Kriya Shema? When you're traveling for your own reasons. But if you're traveling for mitzvah reasons, then in achinami, you're pater from Kriya Shema, because osik b'mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. So says the Gemara, so why is it that when you marry an almana, is that not a mitzvah? Why when you marry an almana do you have to say Shema? So karnis is a basula tarid, karnis almana lo tarid. There's a difference. When a person marries a basula, he's preoccupied because he's worried about the basulim. When a person marries an almana, he's not so preoccupied, he'll manage to say Shema. Really, that's all you need to get off of having to say Kriya Shema, is to be preoccupied. Elamata, there will be people that will go years without saying Shema, if that were the case. People who are worried about losing their boat in the sea, or the equivalent of it in the stock market on any given day, so they would be pater from Kriya Shema. So, and if you say, yeah, in Achinami they are, we say that an Avel has to do every mitzvah in the Torah. Who's more tarud than an Avel? He's obviously preoccupied, he's got a lot on his mind, and still we say that an Avel is chayiv in all mitzvahs with only the one exception of tefillin. So answers the Gemara, hacha tarud tir de mitzvah, hasam tarud tir de rishus. Now if a person is tarud with a boat, or with even avelus, where the tirda itself is not a mitzvah, there are nihuge avelus that he has to do, but the tirda itself is not a mitzvah, then he is not pater from the from Kriya Shema. But a chassan who's marrying a besula is tarud, and that tirda paters him. What seems to emerge from this Gemara is that it's not enough to be osik b'mitzvah, that you need two qualifications to be pater from Kriya Shema. You need to be osik mitzvah, and it needs to be something that mentally preoccupies the person. And in fact, that is the sheet of Rav Haigon, that l'maskanas ha-Gemara, there is no rule called osik mitzvah pater min mitzvah. The rule is Osek v'tarud b'mitzvah is pater min mitzvah, but you need the tirda as well. The Rashba is cholek, and most of the Rishonim side with the Rashba on this, that no, there are two separate issues over here. Number one, there's osek b'mitzvah, that any time you're osek in an actual mitzvah, with or without tirda, you are pater from another mitzvah. Number two, there's tarud tirda de mitzvah. There's something, there are sometimes where you're not even doing the mitzvah. The chassan is just thinking about it, he's mentally preoccupied. So in that situation, if he's tarud, and it's about a mitzvah that he's tarud, even though he's not osik in the mitzvah, that would also pater him from the mitzvah. Tosus points out that in Brachos, the gear says lehepach, that over there in Brachos, we say b'shivtecha prat lechasan, uvelechtecha v'derech prat leosik b'mitzvah. That we flip it around, and he said that gear seems to be much better, because da'ach mash makra, b'sheves tidachu d'mechayeves b'kriyashma v'lo b'sheves t'mitzvah, shayti yoshev v'mechashiv b'bilis mitzvah. Which one better describes the chassan? Someone who's leches or someone who's sheves? No, the whole point about the tirda case is the guy's not doing anything. He's just sitting there sittering over the fact that he doesn't know whether his wife is really a basula or not. So that's b'sheves tidach. So that would be the more logical girsa to have in this Gemara. That's the ha'ara that says that the girsa is otherwise in Maseches Brachos. The Gersa is the opposite in Maseches Brachos. Now we said that an Avel is chayv in all mitzvahs in the Torah with one exception, and the exception is Tefillin, because Tefillin are called a Pe'er. So how do we know that an Avel is pater from Tefillin? Because Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel, Pe'ercha chavish alecha, you should wear Tefillin. Even though Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling him in the Valley of Dry Bones that he should act all sorts of Nihuge Avelos, he should do all sorts of Nihuge Avelos, he says, you should wear tefillin. So the fact that he says that he should wear tefillin implies that a regular avel, normally when someone's doing avelus, he would not wear tefillin. So it's also a little bit bothered. Which actions that God told Yecheskel to do, do we learn from those actions that those are hilchos avelus? And which actions do we learn that those actions are an exception to the hilchos avelus? Meaning Hashem told Yecheskel to do a lot of things. He said hanekdom. He said stop learning Torah, don't learn Torah. So we learn from there that an avel is asur b'talmud Torah. Great, so why don't we learn from there that an Avel is chayv in Talmud Torah, and this is an exception, that Yecheskel is pater. Meaning by tefillin, we said it that way. We said, Perech HaChavish Alecha means that every other Avel would not wear tefillin, but you should wear tefillin. So when do we know when to use Yecheskel as the model, and when to use Yecheskel as the exception? So Tosfos on the bottom of here says, V'yesh lomer debedivrei Torah sheshina ba'akasav mikulei alma, isa l'meimim shimda Avel asr bedivrei Torah. By divrei Torah, Hashem told him to do something something that's different than what the rest of the world does. Everyone else learns Torah. Hashem told Yechezkel, don't learn Torah. So it must be that that's a din of Avelus, that he's telling him not, he wouldn't have to tell him if it was something that that was not a din of Avelus. So he wouldn't have to tell him to learn Torah. So it must be that was an instruction of Avelus. But when it comes to tefillin, why would he have to tell him to put on tefillin? Of course he put on tefillin. The whole world puts on tefillin. So that must be the exception. That's how Tosfos understands. Says Gemara Vayter, Va'osik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah mehachan nafka. Is this really the source of osik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah mehasam nafka? The source of osik b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah is entirely different. Titanya ve'yah nashim shari tamei l'nefesh adam. Pasuk says that people who were tamei were not able to bring the Karban Pesach. So and that, therefore they came to Moshe complaining, and that's how we got the whole parsha of Pesach Sheni. Osam anashim mihayu. Who were these guys that were tamei? So nosei aron shel Yosef ayu divrei Yosef Gvi. Rav Yosef Gvi says they were the people that were carrying the aron of Yosef at Tzadik, and therefore they were tamei. Rabbi Kiva Amr Mishal Vel Tzafan ayu shel Yoskim ben Adav Aviv. Rabbi Kiva says no, it was Mishal and El Tzafan, and they were carrying. They were the ones that had to carry Nadav and Aviv out of the Mikdash by the out of the Mishkan by the Chanukas of Mishkan, and therefore they became tamei for that reason. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, wait a second. Im nosei aron shel Yosef ayu kvar hayu chalun itaher. If they were the ones carrying the Aron of Yosef, they should have had plenty of time to be tar. By the way, this line about Nosei Aron Shel Yosef is one of the major sources in the sugya of whether it's Kivrei Tzadikim are Metame or not. There's a medrash of Eliyahu HaNavi being Osek in the Kavur of Rabbi Akiva, and Eliyahu HaNavi was challenged. Wait a second, Eliyahu, aren't you a Kohen? How could you be involved in Kivrei Kavura? And he said, it's Kivrei Tzadikim and Metamim. So there's a rich literature on that topic of whether Kivrei Tzadikim are or not Metame. Yosef is one of the few Jews in history who's known by the title Hatzadik, and yet we assume that those who were Nosei Aron Shel Yosef were Tame and were not able to bring Karban Pesach. So this is a major line in that discussion, which is a good topic for another shiur, but not for now. So they that we have this machlokas who they were, and the Rabbi Yitzchak says if it was Nosei Aron Shel Yosef, they had plenty of time to become tahar. They knew that the Pesach was coming; they should have gotten themselves tahar in time for Pesach, for Karban Pesach. And Mishal Vel Tzafan Hayu Yichal Noy Litar. And also, if it was Mishal Vel Tzafan, there was still time to be tahar. This is the only coincidence. Erev Shabbos Parshas Pikudei, because Be'echad BeNisan Hukam HaMishkan. The Mishkan was erected on the first day of Nisan, so you had plenty of Visheni Lo Sarif El Azar Zapar. Rashi says that on the second day of Nisan they already had the Efer Parah Aduma all prepared, so there were the Shmonas Yimei Milum. They had plenty of time to become tar from dealing with Nadav and Aviyu. So why didn't they become tar if they knew that the Pesach was coming? Ella, rather, he says, no, Oskin b'meis mitzvah hayu. There must have been a meis mitzvah that came up, and that's what they were involved in. Shechal Shvi Shalan Lios Erev Pesach. And even though the seventh day of Tumah was an Erev Pesach, which means that night already they're going to be Tahar, meaning there's the whole Tumah process is only 7 days, still they're not able to bring Karban Pesach and Erev Pesach if they were Tameh on Erev Pesach. So we see from there that Nosik Mitzvah is Patam in a Mitzvah. How do we see from there Nosik Mitzvah Patam in a Mitzvah? So Rashi explains, Mikol Makom Shamin Minah Nosik Mitzvah Patam in a Mitzvah Shari Nitmu B'meisein Shiva Yom Lefnei Pesach V'afal Pisha Tumazu Takev V'yadim Achilis Pesachayin. At the time that they became tamei to the mace, they knew that this would preclude them the possibility of a Karban Pesach for them that year. Alma mitzvah kala bol yadcha in chatzaruch l'chosim nechamura asidolavo. So we see that a small mitzvah that comes to your hand, a mitzvah kala that comes to your hand, you should do that mitzvah and not ignore it just because of a very important mitzvah that's going to come up later. So some of the acharim take issue with Rashi. How dare he call mace mitzvah a mitzvah kala? You're allowed to call mace mitzvah. Is that a kohen gadol's mitame for a mace mitzvah? That's going to be called a mitzvah kala. So Pashas, what he means by mitzvah kala is in terms of onesh, that Karban Pesach is a chiv karis, and this is not a chiv karis. This is a regular mitzvah. So it's not what we call mitzvah kala in the sense that it's unimportant. It's very important. There's also daf yomi coincidence, Zayin Adar coming up. We have our Zayin Adar Shabbos, even though it's not really Zayin Adar on the Shabbos. But okay, so the mitzvah kala, it's not really a mitzvah kala. Of course, it's a critically important mitzvah. mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah kalim in the sense of onesh. So anyway, so we see that these people made this cheshbon to deal with the meis mitzvah at the cost of the Karban Pesach. So that's a lima that also mitzvah patam and mitzvah. Shnemar, how do I know that it was Shvi Shela and the seventh day of the Tumah was Erev Pesach? Because the Pasuk says, V'lo yuchlu lasos Pesach b'yomahu. They couldn't do the Karban Pesach that day. The implication is b'yomahu en yichol nasos, halamachar yichol nasos. That if they just had one more day, they would be able to do it. That means that even if the seventh day was Erev Pesach, if they just had one more day, they would be able to bring the Karban Pesach. Still, they were excluded from the Karban Pesach. For that reason, they were Tameh. So bottom line is, we have a question over here. First, we said that the source of Osik Mitzvah Patim and Mitzvah is the Pasuk in Kriyashma. Now we're saying the source of Osik Mitzvah Patim and Mitzvah is the people who were Tameh Lemes who couldn't bring Karban Pesach. So which is it? Which is the real source? Says Gemara Tzricha, we need both sources. Diashmin Hasa Mishim Delomatas Manchiv the Pesach. If we only had the Karban Pesach source, I would say, yeah, because at the time that they were Tameh Lemes Mitzvah, it wasn't yet the Zman of Karban Pesach. So Me'echi tasted that they would be allowed to ignore a current mitzvah that they have in front of them right now for a future mitzvah. So aval hachad matzman kriyashma imlo. But I might have thought that when it comes to kriyashma, a person could say, well, right now is the zman of kriyashma. I have no right I have every right to ignore one mitzvah for the sake I would have to say the kriyashma. I would not be allowed to ignore the second mitzvah. I would have to do the second mitzvah. So tzricha, that's why I need the source from kriyashma. V'yashmin hach, and if it only would have told me the source from kriyashma, mishum deleka kares, because kriyashma is less severe in that there is no kares for kriyashma. Avalasim dika kares, same below. But by Karban Pesach there's kares, so I would think that you would not be exempt from Karban Pesach on account of another mitzvah, a mitzvah kala like burying the mace. So tzricha, that's why I need both sources for osing mitzvah patam and mitzvah. Tosfos raises the question: Mishal vel tzafan, if they were osik b'nadav aviyu, there is a shita in Maseches Sanhedrin that the way that nadav and aviyu died was that their bodies became burnt entirely. So if that's the case, how did they become tamei in the first place? There was no body left. The bodies were entirely burnt. So Tosfos says shildon haisa kayemes, that the skeleton was still around. The outside of the bodies were burnt, but the skeleton was still there, and therefore they became tamei to the skeleton. Rabbi Yaakov Emden raises the kasha and Tosfos says, wait a second, that the tumas shildah is only a tumah midrabanan. It's not a tumah midaoraisa. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, no. Tumah shildah is only midrabanan if it's actually ashes. If even the skeleton is burnt and you just still see the form of the skeleton, but it's actually ashes. But if it's still bone, if it's still hard substance, then it's tumah daoraisa. Gufa. Back to a discussion we had just before. An aval is chayv in all mitzvahs in the Torah except for tefillin, because by tefillin it's called pe'er. From the fact that God tells Yecheskel, put on your tefillin, we learn that you who are being knowing Nehugei Avelis right now do have to put on tefillin. But anybody else who would be knowing Nehugei Avelis would not put on tefillin. So we see from there that an aval is part from tefillin. But that's only on the first day of Avelus. On the Yom HaMisa, normally it's a non-issue, because normally by the time a person would even think about it, it's past Shachris time, because he's an Onen usually at Shachris time. They do the Kavura, you know, whatever, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning. So by the time he comes back, he's not even thinking about Tefillin that day. But he's Pater that day, because it's the Yom Rishon of the Avelus. On the Yom Sheni, the Halacha is that he's Chayiv in Tefillin, but only if there are no Panim Chadashos. If there are Panim Chadashos, even on Yom Sheni, Halach and Shulchan Aruch, there's part from Tefillin, a lot of people are unaware of that. If people who are not at the Levaya show up to Shachris in the Avil's house before he puts on Tefillin, he does not put on Tefillin. It's only if he's already wearing it, he doesn't remove it when Panim Chadash will show up, but he should not put on Tefillin if new people come. That's why the advice is to put on Tefillin before he opens the door, to wake up early. V'amar Rabbi Zivda Amarav, Avil Chayv B'Sukkah, an Avil is Chayv in Sukkah. So Pshit, of course an Avil is Chayv in Sukkah, he's Chayv in everything. I might have thought that he's pater, because the rule is generally that a mitzayer is pater from sukkah, and who's in greater tzar than an avel? So I would think that an avel is also a pater from sukkah. So it comes to teach me that's only tzar that's unavoidable. But over here, this is tzar that he can control, and we assume that he should try to get his mind right and be able to involve himself in sukkah without being a mitzayer on account of the sukkah. Vamir Rabbah Ziv Damarav. Chasin v'ashushvinim kol minei achlupa p'tur min ha-sukkah. The chasin and the shushvinim that help them out, and all the members of the chuppah party are part from sukkah kol shiva for the entire shiva simei mishnah, for the entire Shavuot brachos week. My time, mishum debal l'michti, and the reason is because they have to celebrate. So they're not going to be able to be in sukkah, they have to celebrate. So v'lechlu b'sukkah v'lechlu b'sukkah. Why not just celebrate in the sukkah? So ein simcha l'b'chuppah. No, the simcha has to be in the chuppah. Okay, v'lechlu b'sukkah v'lechlu b'chuppah. So eat in the sukkah and celebrate and dance and do whatever you want in the chuppah. Ein simcha l'makom suda. Now simcha is always associated with su'uda. It's got to be in the same place. Okay, v'levdu chuppah b'sukkah. So I have an idea. Why don't they make the chuppah in the sukkah? And then it would solve the problem. Abaye Yom Mishum Yichud. So Abaye says, no, the chuppah is a place where the chasan and kala would live for the entire Shavuot Brachos week. So a typical sukkah only had three walls. It lacked privacy. So, that's Sar Chasan. I'm already translating. Yichud means that the problem is the sukkahs were typically made on top of the rooftops. And sometimes the chasan is going to leave and the someone else is going to be there alone with the kala. So it's going to be a violation of Yichud. V'Rava Amar Mishum Tzar Chasan. Rava says, no, the concern is Tzar Chasan, that it's going to lack privacy, so he's going to be annoyed by that. My benai, what's the nafka mina between the two reasons? If it's a kind of sukkah that the people are always going in and out of, so then there's no concern of yichud, but there's definitely a concern of a lack of privacy. Rabzera says, I would eat in the sukkah and celebrate in the chuppah, and that made my celebration even greater, even though it wasn't makom achila, but I got to do the mitzvah. I got to do both chuppah and sukkah. It also says a discussion over here of what chuppah actually is. It's not what we call chuppah. It was a place that they actually lived throughout the course of the Shavuot Brachos week. And even as a discussion, are you allowed to say Shasim Kumono and celebrate Shavuot Brachos anywhere but the place where the Chasan and Kala celebrate throughout the Shavuot Brachos week? That's a machlokas Rishonim. Obviously, we paskin you are, but that's a machlokas Rishonim. Okay.